Fierce Femme Media.
Let's talk about Josh Lyman.
Oh, Josh Lyman. Oh, man, what a dreamboat.
God damn. I can't stand how much I love him.
You're straight for Josh Lyman.
I am. I've always loved Bradley Whitford, though. So, like, even years ago when I watched it, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love him in The Handmaid's Tale. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I fucking love Bradley Whitford.
I'm not attracted to him in The Handmaid's Tale like I'm attracted to him in
I love the salt and pepper look and the beard in The Handmaid's Tale, though. I love that, but I don't like who he is.
Oh, here goes Erin's brand out the door. She's in love with a dude.
I mean, I'm sorry. It's not Chris Evans this time. It should
be. Not
I'm gonna run out of wine before we even start recording.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome,
like, oh shit.
Welcome to the weekly wind down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
I'm Jean, the feisty feminist. Woo! Bitches, and I'm back.
Woo-hoo-hoo! And I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
Jean is like free balling it tonight. Like, no headphones in, no microphone. She's just like,
bitch, I got my blue ball. I got my blue ball in it.
I'm telling you right now, Jean, I had a couple people of some of our listeners ask me, where the fuck has Jean Copeland been? It was like, where the hell is Carmen Sandiego?
If anyone missed me, thank you so much for validating my Leo ego. It's been absolute hot dog water of a year. And I had family issues. My father passed, and I had to deal with all of the shit. But I am back.
We're so glad that you're back.
And I miss all of my weekly wind down ladies' faces on my computer screen.
Live in your computer.
It is lovely
to see all of your faces again.
When she said it's been and paused, I was like, 3 days since you looked at me. Like,
right? 5 days since you tackled me.
I am drinking Barrel Heist. It's from Lodi. It's made by
fine people.
It's made by Barrel Heist. Oh. Okay. It's made by Barrel Heist. It's a Cab Sauv, but it's been it has sat in a bourbon barrel for 4 months.
Oh, nice.
So have I.
I love that.
So when I did the who else did this? It was 19 Crimes did this also, and it was way too strong, and I did not like it. Because it increases the alcohol percentage when it sits in the bourbon barrels, so it goes up to like 15%. And when 19 Crimes did it, the bourbon taste was so overwhelming, I did not like it. You can't even taste it on here, but you can feel it.
You know, it's getting a little red.
So, it's also very hot in here. I don't know what's going on.
All bourbon, baby.
It's very warm.
I've been on a 19 Crimes kick, so I'm drinking the hard Chard again, because it's like the only Chardonnay that I like.
Nice. It really sounded like you said hard shart.
Again! Put the hard in. I know.
Before it's not fun.
Hard shart.
I'm drinking the hard shart.
This year has been a hard shart.
Yeah, fact.
And that's our title for the episode. Good night.
Hard shart, everybody. If I may interject, I texted Erin a video of me farting today. So.
I literally told him about that.
Okay. All right.
So Jean sent me a video of her farting. I actually listened to it in my car, so it was like a surround sound.
I loved that you heard it on stereo. That made me so happy.
It was very good quality.
Well, the only reason I recorded it was because I thought it was going to be louder than it was.
I mean, in my car, it was like DEFCON 5.
What are you drinking, Stacey?
I am drinking my last Bud Light seltzer still that I have. It's lemon lime. I'm on a diet, and it's all that fit into what I can have today. So,
it's a sipping wine.
It's not even wine. It's a seltzer. It's a Bud. I feel so uncomfortable holding a Bud Light can also. Like, can I just say that? I need one of the cute little, have you seen the, like, tall and skinny Yetis that'll hold your, like, white claw? I need one of those because I feel icky.
Well, it's dainty like you are.
I wonder if it's catfish, buddy.
Jean, what are you drinking?
Right, so I set out a bottom layer of Modelo Negro starting early this afternoon. But now that I'm here for the podcast, I pulled a bottle from my wine delivery, which, by the way, I'm still excited about getting wine delivered to my house. That it hasn't lost its luster.
Yeah, name one thing that would be better to get in the mail than wine.
Nothing. I can't think of anything.
Sex.
So I pulled out a bottle of Les Grandes Cavas de El Brit, which is, I'm saying it like it's Spanish, but it's actually from France. And it is.
That's the Modelo talking.
I know. I'm still on the Modelo accent, but this is a Grenache Rosé.
The Modelo was the French accent, and then she went back.
I did. I'm all over with my ethnic alcohol accents, but I started with Modelo Negro. Now I'm on this lovely French rosé from my wine delivery place, and I am liking it. It is refreshing.
Nice. I love a Grenache rosé.
Indeed.
Sounds like a sex position.
It does.
Grenache. Like, yeah. It sounds dirty.
Grenache. Grenache really strained my hip the other night.
We did a little Grenache in my back seat.
Yeah. Sounds dirty right now. What kind of vodka are you drinking, Aaron?
This fancy little place in Austin, Texas called Tito's. I know I was supposed to like do something different, but I had a really shitty week. A really, really, really shitty week. I'm sorry. So I'm drinking vodka with, although I do have something new to say about my mixer.
Stop.
That's exciting. I mixed watermelon LaCroix and coconut LaCroix. So it's watermelon, yeah, coconut. LaCroix.
Whoa.
I like to say it in a Spanish accent.
If we're going to parler français.
So I think it is delicious. A. B. It is going down way too fucking easy. And C. I'm probably going to be excited about the earth and the environment later today.
No, I'm going to cut you off if that happens. Aaron, the mixologist, everyone.
Yeah, Jackie's got her finger on the mute button.
Probably not a bad idea.
Yeah. Oh, man, we should come up with little things that are just like hands that like stop. Stop.
Wrap it up.
We'll do it passive aggressively. I'll put up a heart.
You know, as a Pisces, I'm always ever looking.
I love you, but shut up.
I love you, but shut the fuck up.
I'm only ever looking at myself, and you guys should know this. Come on, now.
Oh. All right. So, man, it's been a while since it took us 10 minutes to get through our drinks.
Really?
Oh, man, do the five of us like to hear ourselves talk. Okay. Bob Woodward decided that he was going to release the actual tapes of doing exactly what we all knew Trump was doing, which was playing down the deadly virus that he actually knew was deadly. And he sacrificed hundreds of thousands of lives to benefit the economy.
To not cause a panic.
Um, I I know that this was supposed to be what we were going to talk about. I just don't know that there's that much to say. Like, I no, this she's guilty. This is how much I was shocked. Zero. Like, fucking yeah. zero. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything to say about it that hasn't already been said. Like, fuck him. He's always sucked. He needs to get out of the White House. We need to vote him out. He's the fucking worst.
Yep.
And this is what we say every week. But I loved the meme that Gene sent that was like, this guy trying to downplay the panic that's also telling you to watch out for white vans filled with people right. coming to, like, yeah.
Yeah, the Mexicans are going to come over the border and rape and murder your wives and daughters. But I didn't want to create a panic by letting you know that this real disease was deadlier than I played it up to be.
Perfect. Sums well, it up.
And the whole, like, I have seen, because, I mean, Republicans were very quiet for a minute. Like, they had mm-hmm. nothing to say because they yeah, have to regroup, you know? Yeah, they have to go to the fountain of bullshit and drink from it. Yeah, they have to wait for ready. Fox News to report on it so that they know what to say. Right. And the whole, well, if it was that serious, why didn't Bob Woodward come out with it, like, you know, in
That's
February?
That's fucking bullshit.
And fuck off. Like, I'm sure it's not Bob Woodward's responsibility to do it. It is the president's.
Two, that's right.
I'm sure a portion of Bob Woodward thought that, I don't know, maybe Americans would believe the hundreds of scientists that have been saying the exact same fucking thing. Like, you can blame Bob Woodward. And personally, it was an ethical choice that I don't know if I would have made the same one. But I also don't make $5 million off of every book I sell. So
that's right.
Close.
And you know what? Bob fucking Woodward did his ethical responsibility by bringing down Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Does Bob Woodward need to be the only fucking human being that brings down horrible Republican presidents?
I have my fingers crossed.
Or can we?
Come on, Bob!
Yeah, I mean, can we as a people, as a democracy, fucking recognize when we've put disgusting, despicable human beings in office and then ourselves resolve the problem? Or does it always have to be Bob Woodward?
Clearly not. Look at the fucking people, Trump supporters now being like, it's Bob Woodward's fault. Like, I'm sorry. Are you fucking kidding me right now? Like,
I know. Also, Jesus Christ.
Coming out with these things sooner, all that, like, that wouldn't have changed Trump's response to any of it. But waiting until it's close enough to the election to make a difference will make a huge fucking difference.
I actually think he did everyone a favor.
Agreed.
Right. Yeah. I think he actually hedged his bets on thinking that this may impact the election. If he had actually released this in February, it would have blown over by now and they'd be crawling up his asshole again. Like,
yeah, and it wouldn't have changed what happened with COVID, though.
Right. Exactly.
Like, that wouldn't have changed anything. But yeah, you have to do it where it's not too far in advance. It's not too, you know, it's not too early. It's not too late. I think Bob Woodward is a genius, and man, he's one for one at this point. Let's try and make it two for two.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
To be completely honest, like, I feel like there are so many people, like, it's not shocking at all this happened. Like, Jackie, you said it best when you're like, am I surprised? No, I'm not fucking surprised that he knew all of this, because Trump's an idiot. Yes, 100%. But he also he had to have been in, you know, any sort of briefings. He had to be there. He had to listen. He heard all of this. He made the conscious decision to be a fucking cock and kill 200,000 Americans. He made that decision because he didn't want to cause a fucking panic. Let me fucking remind you, we've all been panic fucking stricken for the last 6 months almost. So fuck you, Trump, A. B, like, I think the biggest thing that is, like, just so frustrating about all this is just, like, the idea that people just want to blame someone else still. They still want to blame someone else. They don't want to just say, Trump, you fucked up. They just want to blame someone else.
How, though? How can they continue to do this scandal and crisis after scandal and crisis? How are Trump supporters? From the commander.
Wait, you gotta start back over. How are Trump supporters? Because my thing froze again.
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't understand that, like literally every month there's a brand new scandal that illustrates how fucking dumb, incompetent, and corrupt Donald Trump is. And yet his supporters always find a way to dig through the pile of shit and find an excuse that in their minds exonerates him from any level of blame. How does this happen?
Well, I don't get it.
They
built a permission structure, right? Like, because it's not just Trump feeding them the lines of shit. It's their congressmen. It's their senators. It's their favorite news network. Yep. It is. He's built an entire permission structure that lets them believe what their confirmation bias, because they have 15 people surrounding them saying, yeah, this is how it is. We agree. Look how smart we are. We're, you know, believe me, I'm in private meetings with him and I know the truth too. And this is like, they've created a whole permission structure for it. And that's how they're able. If all of those Republicans that have surrounded him got up at the beginning and was like, no, this isn't true. Like, here's what's really going on. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to side with not even the Democrats, but the scientists and the doctors on this. And Science. This is actually right. what's happening. Bad. You would have seen a very different outcome for this, because Trump props himself up. He props his propaganda up against these Republicans that have or had decent reputations, good standing with their constituents, and a respectable record. Like, to watch Mike Pence, who, I mean, yeah, human garbage, right? But he's held up in such high esteem to the super religious right, to watch him get trotted out and lie bold-faced to these followers and these supporters is, it gives them a reason to say, I trust him, he wouldn't lie to me. So it's, I was listening to, are you guys familiar with Tim Miller at all? He's one of the people responsible for Republicans against Trump. And he's a pretty prolific, he'd worked on a lot of Republican campaigns. Like, he's pretty deep into the Republican Party, but he has been against Trump since the get-go. Like, he's guest hosted on Pod Save America. Like, he's very anti-Trump. And he was saying, I was listening to him on a podcast today, talking about how he knew the Republican Party was over, not when Trump got elected, but when he saw men and women that he respected going up there and defending the insanity. That's when he realized the people that he once supported and were friends with had abandoned the principles that they shared, and he couldn't support the toxicity that exists in the Republican Party anymore. So not all of them, that's just who we're getting the news coverage though. The ones who are going out there and just telling these lies and lies and lies. It's just, and to the point where you almost feel crazy, because you're like, am I reading this wrong? Like,
people just eat it up.
Yeah.
They eat it up.
That's how effective gaslighting as psychological warfare is. Gaslighting is psychological warfare. And it is extremely effective, because Donald Trump has been gaslighting people since 2016, and here we are 4 years later, and he still has so many people who believe. I mean, like, if you pick a couple of Donald Trump's campaign speeches, like stump speeches, and you listen to him talk, he is such a buffoon. Yes. He is such a complete exaggerating liar. How do you as an intellectual listen to the verbal diarrhea that pours out of his mouth and believe that it is legitimate and sincere and honest? I don't know what has happened along the way where people could listen to a complete fucking
potato.
Blathering liar.
No, potatoes are good.
How?
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't either, because with some of that stuff, like, even though it seems like they have a million little details and a million little facts and a million little figures, when you sit back and you look at all of it, any of the shit he says, any of these crazy conspiracy theories, and you just look at it with a logical mind, there's no fucking way.
No way.
Jackie and I work for the government. Do you know how hard it is to get anything legal
done?
Very
hard. Very.
We can barely get good stuff that is legal and totally fine done. Mm-hmm. Do you know how hard it would be for us to, like, do some of these crazy things that they're talking about? And so that's why with Trump, like,
much less get everyone on board to cover it up. That would never happen.
Right. That's the difference, right?
You because can't even keep him on message when it's good and just.
Right. So how the fuck does he do it?
Because he doesn't lie about it. He doesn't cover it up. He says it in a recorded interview with Bob Woodward.
True that.
It's not a secret. Nothing's a secret. It's right out there in the open.
After watching The West Wing for the last 20, 48 hours, I literally, like, it's so funny to me when you think about.
That's pretty much the equivalent to going to Harvard, is all I'm going to say. You pretty much have your political science degree from Harvard.
But, I mean, hey. Graduate now, almost.
Dr. Zach.
Yay. I mean,
hey, I'm two seasons further ahead than she is, so.
Whatever, you watch it all day long. I should be, but
I work, ma'am.
I forgot, government employee.
Everybody knows that people who are on the clock are on the internet more than anybody else.
So anyway,
I'm so busy.
So
no, but I don't have a life. I got plenty of hours outside the 8 I spend at work.
But she doesn't watch The West Wing. She just, like, listens, and I'm like, you need to watch. But anyway, so my whole thing is, like, we've had presidents before that have had fucking amazing speech writers, right? Like, that give you chills, that make you stand up out of your seat and go, yes, like. And obviously, the speechwriters for President Bartlet were amazing. They were fucking amazing. And I know it's all Aaron Sorkin and all the writers and Tommy Shalami and whatever the fuck. And, like, I get it. I fucking get it. But, like, the speechwriters for Trump are literally snorting lines of what's the powder in the tube? You know what I'm talking about. You know.
Smarties?
Like, hickey sticks.
They're fucking sticking it up. They have no fucking idea what they're writing. They're fucking idiots when they're like, it's an amazing, like, even when he's reading the speech, it is literally an asshole.
Stephen Miller's a speechwriter, and he's the worst.
Yeah, but also, how much of that speech do you think he's even getting in there? He can't read the teleprompter. I don't think he can read much at all. And then I don't think he can read either. I'm telling you, there was a thing, I'm gonna find it and send it to you guys, an interview with Andy Samberg, I think, and they were talking about Trump being on SNL and that he literally could not read the cue cards.
It's because he's a fucking imbecile. Like, I understand there are people in this world that have gotten very far without being able to read. That is a possibility. There are people out there. But there are. I know it's funny. It's fucking, these guys, I swear to God, I wish you could see this.
Jackie's face.
Jackie's face and Stacy, she fucking, they all leaned back like I fucking told them to. It was like, on lean back, motherfucker.
I'm wondering who since Harriet Tubman has been able to, like.
There are people, like, white straight men in Northwest Indiana that have been able to make a shit ton of money.
Okay, well, that's very specific. It's like you had someone in mind.
Listen, but as an English teacher, I appreciate the specificity of that reply.
No, but, like, I'm just saying, I'm sure there are people that have been able to get places without being able to read a coherent sentence. Fine, whatever they have. Maybe they have, you know, dyslexia. Maybe whatever the fuck is wrong. I'm trying to.
Maybe they have Fred Trump Sr. as their father.
Who
greased everything to get
them to be
through.
PC. I'm never normally PC, but I'm trying to be PC tonight. So my whole thing is, like, it's just so fucking frustrating that our fucking leader is not
smart.
A fucking smart guy. Well, he is a goddamn.
I think you're ever hearing a single one of those speeches that gets written. Not
even
never.
Get it?
No, because I don't think he sees it, reads it, cares. That's how you wind up with shit like Covfefe and Tim Apple and all this stupid shit that he says. You think he's reading Tim Apple off a paper? And then he won't correct himself, and he just pretends like that's what he meant to say the whole time. And then he gives Biden shit for using a teleprompter.
You can tell when Trump is using a teleprompter because he's like a half-conscious fucking zombie.
It's very monotone. He's reading.
Yes, absolutely. Monotone. There's no passion, no heart, no soul. So you could tell when Trump is reading a teleprompter versus when he is winging it and feeding off of the psychotic energy of his lunatic fringe that fill or even partly fill the places where he has his stupid fucking rallies.
I do want to clarify so we don't get the angry emails. When Aaron said couldn't read, I thought she meant legitimately like illiterate in 2020, not had a learning disability. I wasn't making fun of people with learning disabilities. I thought you meant legitimately like could not read.
Like in Beauty and the Beast, like
right,
the Beast, like,
yes,
like, yeah, that's
yeah.
What I was.
I wasn't
of.
Laughing because people with because I mean, right. I'm like, oh god, I can see the emails now. That's not what I was saying.
No, you know what? No, Trump
to try to get the speeches correct, right? If you go back and listen, like Gene brought up a really good point. If you go back to listen, and the only times I would say you can find speeches where he's reading off the teleprompter, there have been a handful of times after giant national tragedies.
Yes.
Not the ones right now that he's like caused and shit. And I can't even think of what they were. Like maybe the shooting in Vegas. But there were a couple where he gave a speech afterwards that people were like, oh, that was almost borderline
presidential.
Was Trump in charge for
not
Vegas?
Presidential. I don't remember, but something like that.
Okay. All right.
Where it's like something. Condolences to a family and that kind of stuff. Anything, you're right, with his sick of fans, he's just totally winging it and sounds like a maniac.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you could tell he responds to the applause, that when the crowd cheers from some moronic imbecilic thing that he says, he will continue on that same vein because all he's looking for is the cheering response from
he's like a toddler
fucking cult.
They yeah, like something when bad, everybody laughs, and
so they keep doing it. Yeah, like when they say a bad word and you're like, oh, he said fuck. And he's like, ah, 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 ah.
Right. Yeah. And then he says it 10 more times.
Yeah, he's like, fuck, fuck, fuck. And you're like, no, no, no. We didn't mean to laugh at that.
I actually think Lincoln is smarter than Trump. So.
Oh, 100%.
Jackie, if your son was on the ballot opposite Trump, I would vote for your fucking son in a heartbeat.
Yes.
Not against Biden, though. Vote Biden. Vote Biden.
Well, Lincoln's not on the ballot, so it's fine.
I'm riding with Biden, but if Lincoln was on the ballot, I'd be twinkling with Lincoln.
I'm riding with Harris. We just happen to be taking Biden's car, so it's fine.
Exactly. But
oh my God, I fucking love her so much. I'm obsessed with her.
Off of that plane with her chucks on.
Oh, that was so cute.
Oh, oh God. I
love her so much.
I think I almost orgasmed when I saw that.
That was very, very specific. If you guys don't follow her niece on Twitter, her niece is hilarious. Super
Who's her
funny.
Niece?
Maya?
I'm following her right now.
No, Mina.
I love her because she makes me feel like
Mina?
This is why women are smart. She makes me feel like this is the reason that women were given brains right there.
M-E-E-N-A Harris. Mina Harris. She's super funny.
On it.
Kamala just makes me just want to be like happy about life. And it's been a while since that's happened as far as like the outlook of the American nation goes.
Yeah,
like,
she made me feel patriotic.
Right. Like for the first time in months, years, fuck. Like it's exciting to see someone that can be smart and fun. Mm-hmm. Like I loved Hillary. Do not get me wrong. I would take a bullet for Hillary Clinton. I love her.
Oh, I totally would. But you know what? That's I mean, quarantine.
Jackie with your heart, motherfucker. God damn it.
You know, Quarantine Gene made two music videos about Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
I am obsessed with her. And if I had another bottle of wine, I might just start mailing her love letters.
I thought that M was going somewhere else.
Wait, what? No. Like if I drank enough, I might start mailing her marriage proposals.
Has she edged out Andrew Cuomo?
Well, she has because she doesn't have a penis.
Oh,
I'll do it every time.
Yeah.
You know what? I still love Andrew. He's still like my baby daddy if I was to have a baby at 51 when all my eggs are like powder now. But if I was gonna have a baby daddy, it would totally be Andrew Cuomo. But man, when Biden picked Kamala, I had to shelf Andrew, and I am
tough break.
Yeah.
All about that delicious senator from California.
Stace, you got any thoughts?
No, I wish we could have to any of our listeners, if you know a Republican that would come on and talk to us, I feel like we could answer some questions, because we're so one-sided, and I feel like we're always like, what are Trump supporters still thinking, and how are they responding to these tapes and this and that? And I feel like it's like we really need like a good Republican on here to be like arguing with us, but somebody that like was not gonna, like, we wouldn't attack them, but they have to like have a conversation too and not just be like fake news, you know, like
right.
somebody that would get on and have a good conversation with us.
I might know someone that would do that. Is that seriously something you would like?
No.
Because
absolutely.
Okay. Yes, of course.
I've got an idea.
Absolutely not.
But, she's actually right. married to a black man.
And a Trump supporter?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
They're both Trump supporters.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Come on.
I will ask her right now. I have her up.
Okay.
So let's... Gay people, black people, Hispanics supporting Trump. Please, that is making my brain is going to explode. Can anyone explain that in a way that would make me understand how you fucking support someone who has been so fundamentally against who you are?
I don't think anyone can explain that in a way that's going to make any of us.
We're going to move on from this because we're going to talk about Netflix cuties, but they don't think that he is against them. So
yeah,
that's.
But how do they not think that?
Because they're in an echo chamber. They're in an echo chamber of Fox News, and they ignore the fact that it was actually Obama that started the downward trend of black unemployment, and it hit its peak under Trump, because that's how economies work. They take several years to come to fruition. So when it actually hit the peak as the remnants of Obama's economic plan, Trump got to take credit for it, because economies aren't instantaneous. It's not like tearing off a receipt. Like, they take time, they ebb and they flow, and they're like waves, and it's a whole thing, but people don't understand the most basic concepts of how major economies across the world work, and they just go with what feels good.
Right.
What?
I gotta pee.
Then go. This isn't class. You don't need to.
I want to talk about cuties.
You don't need to raise
your hand. We'll be here when you get back.
Aaron, you're excused.
Like I would.
So, cuties on Netflix. I don't know what the fuck it is. Go ahead.
Okay. So, let's start with Stacey, because I'm going to assume all the crazy, like, Republican TikTok is, like, going nuts about this movie, correct? Like, they cancel Netflix.
100%. There are, like, maybe 10 people of the, like, the fucking... Why are you guys laughing?
Because she asked Stacey.
We're rusty.
It's okay. I've only heard about it from Aaron and my one cousin who posted about it. And then I looked into it and I watched the trailers. And I figured Aaron would like describe what it's about to tell people, because
I brought it up.
Yeah, because it was her idea to talk about it. But basically, just watching the trailers from what I've seen, and the one article I read about, like, Netflix is trying to downplay it and say that it's, like, a wholesome coming-of-age, like, drama, and I'm like, no.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Thoughts and feelings.
Right? It's freaking, okay, like, you know on TikTok when you watch the WAP videos? That's the dance they're doing, and it's, do you know what WAP stands for? Anybody? Like, this is fucking so inappropriate. These girls are supposed to be 11 to 14.
Wiggly ass puppy.
No.
No? No?
Warm apple pie. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Mm, wet ass pussy for everyone living under a rock.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. Like, Aaron and I were talking about this earlier, and I think I probably have a slightly different opinion on this than everybody else. But I think, A, you can't judge a movie before you have seen it. So, like, her and I were talking about that. Like, it's, there was somebody in my neighborhood that posted on Netflix last night that this movie glorifies pedophilia. And people were like, where does it, like, have you watched it? What does it do that glorifies pedophilia? And he said it sexualizes children. I was like, well, those aren't the same thing, first of all.
No, they're
like,
not.
Like, that's not the same thing, just at all in general. Right. And everything I've seen in every trailer, every preview, is not any worse than you would see at a children's dance competition. And I'm not saying that.
You did not watch the trailer I watched. No, it was horrific.
Hold on. I'm just saying that also, like, the girls are 11 to 14. That's middle school, beginning of high school. So what it actually is, like, it's been people... Netflix messed up with the way they marketed the movie, because this is a French movie.
Yes.
And so what they're saying is it's sexualizing or it's celebrating children's sexualized behavior, when actually, like, the subject of the movie is the opposite of that. It's like, yeah, the negative effects of desexualization culture.
Right.
And so I don't know. I just think it's messed up for people to A, judge the movie before they've seen it.
But I feel like this is one of the things that struck me. Do you guys remember the movie 13?
Yes.
Right? Like, yep. So that movie, she's 13, right? Like, she is coming into being a teenager. And it's what Evan Rachel Wood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously she goes stark raving mad, basically, because she starts hanging out with this girl that's just very wild and crazy. And she, in the beginning, Evan Rachel Wood was very straight-laced, right? And so, and I feel like this is very similar, very, very similar, except instead of 13, she's 11. So I feel like, and when you watch the preview that I watched, which was the Netflix preview, I don't know, Stace, which one you watched, but...
Yeah, I watched the Netflix one.
So, like, I know, like, I personally... I guess because I don't see 11-year-olds as sexual, them dancing to me did nothing for me. I'm like, I don't see that as sexual. I see them as dancing. And, like, I've seen numerous dance competitions where girls have danced probably more provocatively than their age would typically allow, but they're also learning technique. They're learning different dance styles, moves. And maybe this is me, like, saying that I don't want to cancel Netflix because I'm not through the West Wing yet, but I'm also saying that I feel like until people see this movie, I think it's really awful to say that this is a movie that's saying that pedophilia is okay, because that's not what it's saying.
Right.
It's saying that kids at this age need to be more careful. You need to have more, I don't want to say as a parent, you need to have a better handle on your kids, because that's not what it means. I think it means that kids are so eager to be older than they are that it's important to remind kids that it's not necessary. Like, you don't need to be older than you are to get further than where you are at. I'm sorry, but as a drunk woman, I feel like I said that very well. I don't know.
I would agree. Yeah, I agree with you.
Erin, as a drunk woman listening to you,
I feel like
I now understand how Trump supporters rationalize all of his horrific bullshit.
Okay, so I watched the Netflix preview, and then I went on our trailer, and then I went on YouTube and watched some other trailers just so that, like, we could have a conversation, because my cousin posted a trailer that was one-sided. And I was like, okay, I want to know what this is about. Why are we banning Netflix all of a sudden? So I went on and I watched some other trailers, and then there was a really good Twitter, which I just sent you, that was a clip of the dance scene that they do, that the entire, it's like 3 minutes long, and it's so overly sexualized and so above what they should be doing. They're rubbing their crotches. They have booty shorts on and they turn around and they twerk, and they're little girls. And even the people in the audience in the show are like, this is not okay. So if the show, because the way Netflix describes it is it's a girl from West Africa that her parents are like too strict. And so she meets this girl in the laundry room and she sees her dancing and she's doing like some hip hop moves. And she's like, I want to dance with you. And so the girl has to kind of sneak away to dance and learn the dances with the girl. And then she gets on stage and does this way like overly sexualized dance where you're like, holy shit, this dance is like, I would be embarrassed to watch it at a concert with like Cardi B. It was so bad.
I'm just saying, like, from someone who's danced my whole life and still goes to dance competitions currently, it's not that far off from what you would see at a dance competition from girls that age. Not that I'm justifying that. I'm just saying for that to be the thing that people have such a like visceral reaction to, you can
then
walk
we
my studio.
Have a problem with like our culture because this dance is so gross. It was
saying,
gross.
You could walk into my studio any day of the week and I guarantee you 90% of the girls in there dancing are wearing sports bras and booty shorts. Like that's what they're dancing in. But again, that's beside the point.
Sweaty
it's
not, in the studio. Yeah, but to be out on stage and have like your butt showing and shake it and then rub it and spank it and make motions with the other girls that you're humping them is not
the
okay.
The point in the movie isn't to glorify that.
Right.
It's the point of the movie is that, and that's why I think that's the part of it that makes me mad. Like, number one, just the twerking and that kind of stuff. Like, you're going to see that any 11-year-old whose parents aren't looking at their TikTok, I guarantee you they're all in there doing the walk dance. And again, I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying that's where we're at. But yeah. What this movie does is it's supposed to show the difference of, like, children, especially poor non-white children, growing up without access to, like, a good education, good emotional support. It's not just that she has strict parents. It's that her dad, marries another woman into a, like, polygamist relationship. And, like, because of their cultural, like, it's a whole very, very specific set of circumstances.
Right. And that's why it won so many awards at Sundance. Right. Like, it's not just a movie about girls dancing.
Like, look
on stage.
How sexy 11-year-olds are.
Right. That's not right. What it's about. Oh,
right. Like, it's that when you don't give, like, kids are going to be naturally curious about sex and they're going to be naturally, like you said, you want to be older and you want to be sexy. I wanted to wear a bra and wear makeup and do all kinds of stuff.
I wanted braces and shit. Like, are you fucking kidding? Yeah.
Right. And so they do all kinds of stuff. Like, she starts, like, it's just like the absence of the conversation about sexuality and power and all of those things, how that becomes dangerous.
Right. Right. And
that's better. If that's what it's about, then that's good. Then Netflix is describing it correctly by saying it's a coming of age, like, movie.
Right. That's good. Think part of the problem is I have two things to say. One is that I think Netflix rated it TVMA.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's a lot because 365 mm-hmm. days is rated TVMA.
Right.
So you think, like, oh my God, like, this, like, 365, fuck that movie, P.S.
I think that's worse.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. That movie is awful. Very I mean, the sex scenes are hot, but
they're super hot. But
no, but it's just like
the whole relationship is disgusting because he's holding her captive.
Right, exactly. That is what Jackie and I have talked about in the past with Stockholm Syndrome. That is Stockholm Syndrome. Mm-hmm. Like, that is 100% Stockholm Syndrome. Oh,
yeah.
Although the boat scene. Hey,
I know.
Hey, hey. But my whole thing with all of this is that I had a thought and it went away. But I think that there's, you know what, Jackie, your raised eyebrows. I love you. Like, my whole thing with this whole movie is that, oh my God. Little Miss Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
We've all seen it, right?
Yep.
Little Miss Sunshine. The people in the audience went fucking nuts when she gets up there, Olive gets up there and starts dancing to, was it Brick House? Which one was it?
It was something super inappropriate, but I don't remember
like
what it
she
was.
She should not have been dancing.
Yeah.
She's like, I fucking hate you, Aaron. I love you, Jackie. I love you. But like, it's that same thing that like, it's not about sexualizing. It's trying to get these girls to a mind frame where they're able to be who they want to be. But in this particular circumstance, I just feel like it went really off the rails with how Netflix actually marketed it. Right. Like, people didn't go nuts when she got up there and ripped her pants off in Little Miss Sunshine. Right. Like, Olive didn't get shunned for ripping her pants off. Like, it is not that's not the point of the movie, is to show like how far you go to win a beauty competition. It is, right. It is showing how poverty and how the idea of wanting to be friends with the people that matter, mm-hmm. quote unquote. Like, that's where it's showing that. And I think it was so wrong of people to just like fucking jump to it's pedophilia.
Well, it stems from the Save the Children.
Right, exactly.
I can't tell you how many comments I saw that was like, first AB 145 and now this, blah, blah, blah. Like, right. You don't get to talk like that when you've never even seen it or read the synopsis, and people just say, it's so disgusting, I couldn't even watch it. Like, well, then it's not for you. But A, you should stop, like, just get your facts straight. Netflix didn't make this movie, first of all.
Right.
They didn't. They're distributing it. This movie is several years old, and like Aaron said, it won a million awards.
Right.
There was an article in the New Yorker, and I just wanted to read this little part about it because I thought it was really important. It says, Cuties dramatizes what people of color and immigrants endure as a result of isolation and ghettoization and not being represented culturally and politically, and of not being represented in French national mythology. Its underlying subject is the connection of personal identity to public identity and the urgency of transforming the very notion of French identity and of changing the idea of who's considered to be the representative face of France. That idea is brought to the fore in an extraordinary, brief, symbolic ending, and it's enough to give a right-winger a conniption. Like, this is a French movie. It's not even meant for American consumption. So, like, of course, crazy batshit right-wingers are not going to understand what this movie's about, especially if they haven't watched it.
And it's supposed to cause an uproar. It wasn't made to make people feel good inside. It was supposed to shine a light on something that's very fucking serious. Like, that's the part that I don't understand. Like, you make, you know, Schindler's List, and you shine a light on, like, what the fuck fucking the Germans fucking did to the Jewish community. Like, fuck that. People went, but that movie won a million awards, and it's just so fucked up to me that people see a movie and they think that's wrong. I'm going to boycott this because of that, but they have no fucking background. They know nothing.
And if they went and checked for 12-year-old TikTok, I can guarantee there's some inappropriate dances, some inappropriate songs. 100%. Like, to be so triggered by that and to pretend like that doesn't exist here is bonkers. And agree it's a problem, but the movie doesn't glorify that one bit.
Right. They're not watching videos of, like, I bought a van and I'm remaking. That's what I watch on TikTok. I bought a bus and I'm making it into a camper. That's me. They're not watching that at 11, 12 years old. They're watching how to fucking dance because they want to get a guy, because whatever this country wants to think, we have made girls younger and younger want to be older and older. That is this country has
You
done.
Can't pretend like there aren't middle schoolers that are engaging in sexual activity.
Right.
Or that aren't doing inappropriate dances, wearing inappropriate things, sending nudes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that happens. It happens in middle school.
Do you guys remember when that movie Kids came out?
Mm-hmm. Rosario Dawson.
And how all of the parents threw like an absolute fit about it. But I think everyone who was around my age was like, yeah, I know kids that do shit like that.
Right,
like, it's not.
I totally forgot. I have that on VHS, and I'm gonna make my kids watch it. I totally forgot.
Yeah, at the time, parents were losing
VCR,
losing their minds. But we all know kids, or you were one of those kids who were part of those groups who behaved in that way. Like, it's not. It's funny what parents will freak out about when. And I agree if. The perception that a lot of people are giving off, if it was meant to glorify it, then gross. But it's hard to make that assumption based on things that you have not yet seen. So what's everyone obsessed with this week? I'm gonna limit Zach over there. So
I'm sure we're gonna have the same one anyways.
I was just gonna say, can Stacey and I tag team this?
Hey.
Catfish.
You and Stacey, you guys are consenting adults. Feel free to tag team whatever you want.
We are currently tag teaming.
West Wing. The West Wing.
I have cried more in the last 2 weeks than I've cried in my life, and I'm a crier.
Same.
I'm a crier.
Same.
Oh my God.
There are some episodes of shows that just no matter how many times you see them, still just kick you right in the vagina.
Right in the vagina. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care how many times I have seen. Uh-oh. Gail's coming in.
Gail! Look, Gail with the tie. Yes. Woo! Oh, Gail, don't we go.
Woke Gina up. Hey, yo. So when fucking Bartlett and anytime Bartlett's with Charlie, wakes me up. It like wakes me fucking up. Anytime CJ is like, I'm a woman in a man's world with anybody. Like CJ,
I've never seen a character that has good chemistry with every other character on the show.
Every single one of them. Like even like season two where I'm like, she's with the British guy that does the tours.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's like, he's like Claudia Jean. And I'm like, oh my God. Like literally every, but what I love the most about it is that it weaves politics into every scene, but it also does it in the sense that like it makes sure that it doesn't make the people watching feel stupid.
Yeah. But
things that are amazing.
But it does it like it's so Aaron Sorkin is so talented because he does that, but without dumbing it down. And I don't know how he even does that. That show is such a love letter to American politics. And it's dramatic and it's so funny. If you've never watched it, like The West Wing, like you've been sleeping on The West Wing. Like it's so funny, it's so good, it's so Jackie, you'd love it. Like
I've
rewatch
it with us.
I'll squeeze it in between Mickey episodes. Yeah, it's.
I mean, you should.
Lincoln could like it. How does he feel about?
Yeah, if you put it on while Lincoln's up, he'll probably fall asleep.
Lincoln is always
up. So
you're
gonna be fine. Oh,
yeah, yes. But it's just, it's the best show ever. It really is. I've reached the, like, dark seasons after Aaron Sorkin left, so it's getting a little darker right now, but still funny.
I think Newsroom is better. I think Aaron Sorkin did a better job in Newsroom than he did West Wing.
Here's something that I thought was very interesting is, like, so
I said
Gail...
what I said.
The characters on the West Wing are better.
Oh.
More endearing, and I love them. And Newsroom does not have Josh Lyman.
Newsroom has Olivia Munn.
Lemon Lyman. We are team Lemon Lyman and
Olivia Munn.
Listen to me. Listen to me, you guys.
I said what I said.
So, Aaron Sorkin wrote the movie Molly's Game. Have you guys seen that movie?
No.
You have to look it up. It's on Netflix. Don't cancel. Watch it. Oh, God. So anyways, I'm going to hand it off.
We love the West Wing.
West Wing. God, I don't like that heart.
President Bartlett.
Stays.
For life.
I don't have anything going on this week that's, like, noteworthy.
No, you cut me off for that?
Babies.
Gene, what do you got going on?
We had babies. That was noteworthy.
You got babies.
Oh, yeah, you had big surprise piggies.
I did. It was very awkward. I've been letting my teenage piglets roam our property, and we don't have a gate that's secured to go down the driveway. So our driveway is very, very long. I'm not talking about like a little suburban driveway. It's very long.
I'm just picturing the movie Cuties, but with all pigs right now.
So I like was on our town. Actually, my friend texted me and it was a screenshot and it said something about pigs being out in town. And I was like, oh, my God. She goes, is this you? And I said, fuck, yes. Oh, my God. So this lady like posted on our town Facebook page and was like, I just drove down X road and FYI, there's some piglets and they're awfully close to the road. And I pulled up the driveway, and when I tried to get out to catch them, they ran up the driveway, and there's no gate blocking them from getting in the road, and so I was like, oh my God, I'm so fucking embarrassed. they normally, because they're still nursing, they don't go 25 feet from mom. They just don't. But apparently they got curious and the acorns have been eaten around their pen. So they went down the driveway to find more acorns. They weren't going to cause an accident. They were on our property, whatever. She even said the house with the big minion, which is, I painted our big well like a minion. I was so embarrassed. So I was like, fuck. So I called like my family out and I'm like, you guys, we have to wrangle pigs. The piglets are out. Like, this is all bad. They're like, they're always out. What are you talking about? So we had to go mend fences and mend holes. And it took all day because they kept finding ways to get out. But I went out there and apparently my mama pig that my other mama pig that was not supposed to get pregnant because she had just given birth when I bought her and I bought her and one of her piglets to still nurse on her to keep her from going into heat, put her in with my other pigs, and she got pregnant within a couple weeks, which is very sad and very negligent of me because she had just given birth, so super gross. I don't breed my animals that fast, ever. Gross. But I had no idea. She didn't get bigger. She's our smallest mama. She's just not a very big girl. And I walked out, and she was nursing five teeny tiny piglets, and I was like, what the hell, where did you come from, like what even happened? So now I have five more piglets to deal with running down my driveway.
It's so funny because when I first saw those pictures I was like, these are old pigs. She just reshared these. Yeah. They look like the same old ones that you get your last.
Not all pigs look alike, Erin.
No. They were very small.
I only have the same breed. So all of my pigs, my mamas and daddies, are all the same breed. So all my piglets look exactly the same. They are a pound and they're black. So they all look the same. They're teeny tiny. They're very cute. And it's a happy accident. But I feel terrible that we negligently put them all together thinking that she couldn't get pregnant. Lesson learned. And she is now on bed rest for a year. Yeah. She will not be anywhere near the boy for a year because that poor girl went through two years. Yeah.
She sent me a picture and she's like, look what just happened. And I was like, oh no.
I saw your Instagram post.
So you have to put your boy and your girl in pens next to each other, and they lay next to each other to get to know each other. Otherwise, if you put strangers in a pen, a boy and a girl stranger in a pen, they fight. And the girl will beat the shit out of the boy if he tries to mount her. So you have to put them next to
each
pen. And the holes are like 4x5. And so I was like, how did he get his thing into the hole to mount her? Because I was like, there's no freaking way.
Did you ever hear of a glory hole, Stacey?
That's what I was picturing this situation to be like.
Uncomfortable.
I did the math and realized it was totally our bad, and I was a negligent pig mama. And yeah, now we have new babies.
Yay for the new babies, though.
Yay.
How many pig roasts do you have in this year, then?
God, I can't even.
I don't eat the pig. It's
fine. I'll sell them. I won't do that. No.
Jean?
I will tell, like, you guys, I haven't been on for a while, and I don't think I was on prior to Joe Biden picking Kamala Harris as officially his running mate, but I am obsessed with Kamala Harris, all things Kamala, 24/7. I just got my Kamala Harris t-shirt in the mail. When I saw her bound down the steps of that airplane.
She keeps stalling on words that just fucked me all up. I know.
Wait, I'm like, bound? What happened?
No, man. When she bounded down the steps of that airplane in her Chuck Connors and those fucking skinny jeans, I am obsessed with Senator Kamala Harris. And that is all I could think about.
Wow.
I understand.
Kamala Harris is a great pick.
She is so hot.
And smart.
I can't
good
even.
At her job.
Good at her job.
Yes. Yes. All right.
She's all those things.
Let me rewind on the hot part. She is capable, competent,
empathetic, intelligent, yes, successful, and fucking hot.
Yes.
And fierce.
Fierce. And fucking fierce in her fucking Chuck Connors or whatever the
Taylor's
fuck it is.
Chuck Taylor.
Who the fuck's I'm Chuck thinking Connor. You know what? I'm thinking Chuck Connors was in a Doris Day movie in like the early 60s.
All right. Fuck is Chuck
in her
Connors?
Fucking Chuck Taylor's. I am totally obsessed with Kamala Mamala Harris.
Mamala!
Yes.
I am obsessed with two things. One, I am obsessed with Stacey's husband, Kai, because he came over, he hooked up our whole house water filtration system. So now filtered water comes out of every single, I think I just got cut off. So
he hooked up your complete what?
He hooked up our complete whole house water filtration system. So now filtered water comes out of every single spout, every what? Sprinkler, okay. everything. So he came over and did that. And then he installed what, Aaron? What? You're on mute.
I was eating pretzels. Even your sprinklers? Like mm-hmm. your sprinklers? Why, can I ask why?
It's not intentional. That's just when you hook it up, it oh. hooks up to every, the oh, water like, runs through it first. Great. It's not on purpose.
Okay. Can I just say our house is not filtered whatsoever, but I'm glad yours is.
Yeah, if I had the option, I actually wouldn't have picked any of those things because the filtration system only houses like a certain amount of gallons and I wouldn't have run it through all that, but that's just how the water runs. And then he spent his entire day off over here hooking up sprinklers for me. So Kai's the best. Stacey, I'm so glad you married him. I know I've told you that a million times, but yeah, Kai's awesome. So, and you know what? He's one of those guys that hooks stuff up. He never complains while he's doing it. He's never like mad. He's never like, never makes you feel bad. He's just super chill about the whole thing. So, and he saved us literally thousands of dollars. So, I really appreciate him doing that. The other thing I wanted to comment on was it's been a long time coming. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the wildfires that are ravaging the West Coast right now in Colorado. But a good portion of California's firefighters actually come from the prison system. And they are, they're usually in minimum security prison. And every day they spend on the fire lines, they get to reduce it towards their sentence. And we're not talking, I'm going to say this again, we're not talking about people who have committed murder, sexual assault, rape, like any, we're talking about people who stole something, people who got caught smoking pot. Like we're talking about really minimal crimes. They work on the fire lines and they help contain California's wildfires. Up until today, they weren't eligible to be firefighters once they left the prison system, because they had criminal records and criminal records typically, eliminate you from being a firefighter. Governor Newsom signed a law today stating that it would speed up the process to expunge those records so that they, people who are fighting California's actual firefighters in the prison system would be able to become firefighters when they got out. And fucking good for him, man. Like California would be in much worse shape without the prison firefighters. And I think it's a good reason to take people that have made small mistakes and ended up in jail and are able to turn their lives around when they get out because they actually have a direction and a path. And again, I'm not talking about people who've committed felonies. Like that's not who is eligible for this. They're already in minimum security prison. So Gavin Newsom gets a shit ton of hate, and I don't always agree with him, but this was a super good call on his part, and I think it's a really positive step in criminal justice reform, and it was just one of those days that I was really proud to be a Californian, so.
Yeah, buddy.
I agree. The program, I believe, takes place in the town next to us, and because they're always promoting it, and they come out here to practice, and it's like our firefighters that train them and stuff, and it's like, it's very well known in our town that that's what they're doing. And it's like really cool to see. And our high school also has the fire program where they go through so that when the kids graduate, they just have to do the minimum fire requirements. It's like, we have it with like cops, EMTs and firefighters where it's kind of like wood shop. They do like this entire program while they're going to high school. And it's really cool to see that these kids come out of that program.
Yeah, so California actually operates 44 inmate conservation camps through Cal Fire, and they're located in 27 counties throughout California. And
oh, just, well, they're here.
they are. That your county is one of the counties. But just to give people an idea that they don't just take anybody, in 2019, they had 800 inmates in the program. Versus we're one of the highest incarcerated states in the country because we're the most populous state in the country. So out of all the people, they took 800 to do it. So it just makes me happy when you see a path forward for people who messed up and want to turn their lives around, because they work with the firefighters. They're up for, you know, 20 hours. They're risking their lives for Californians. And the fact that they make $1 a day, with no chance to come out and do anything else is not fair. It's not fair. Yeah. So, this was a well overdue and, great job, Gavin Newsom, regardless of how you feel about him. This was the right thing to do for Californians. So
yeah. Criminal to hero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And 'cause we're talking about not big mistakes that landed some of these people in prison, like really small infractions that are going to ruin
maybe having like some cocaine on them or something. Well, right?
To be in minimum security. Well, yeah, because cocaine is technically a class 2 drug, mm-hmm. whereas marijuana is class 1, not in California, but federally it's a class 1. So it would probably be like, you could have had possession of a firearm. You could have, it could be your third DUI and you got put in jail. Like, it could be a multitude of misdemeanor crimes. You could have stolen a stereo from a store. Like, all of these things would have landed you in prison without a felony. So I thought it was great. And one thing California needs is more firefighters. So good for Gavin Newsom.
Yep.
How's everyone's alcohol? Here.
I mean, I've had better.
Better Tito's?
Never. I lied to you just then. Call me Trump.
I love the hard start.
Mine was meh.
That's because you just had one, and then you had some sparkling bullshit water and a fucking water, like a legit water. Like, that's dumb.
Yeah, water and a water.
Yeah, sounds lame. No wonder it was meh.
It was very articulate. Thank you. Did you?
Jesus.
Gene, how was your layers? How was your layers?
Modelo negro.
Well, no, this was the Les Grandes Caves de El Brut. Grenache Rosé. The French Rosé, I liked it. I will order it again when I place another wine delivery
order. Let her Grenache you? Dirty.
If she wants to.
I'm sure she does.
Jean's next girlfriend's gonna be like, do you guys know why she makes me dress like Kamala Harris?
She makes me wear skinny jeans and Chucks. Oh,
who's Chuck Norris?
Because my next girlfriend is going to be Kamala Harris.
There you go. Dream big.
Was it Chuck?
What about Doug? Isn't she married to Doug?
Yeah, I like Doug.
Yeah, Doug's a good guy.
Doug's a good guy.
You know what? Doug's a good guy, but you know what? Once she meets me and we, you know, have a meeting of the minds.
Very true.
Minds.
All bets are off.
She's going to want.
See you, Doug.
Yeah.
Hasta la vista, Doug. Go have yourself a Modelo Negra.
And then cap it off with some rosé.
Rosé from the French region. In France, exactly.
I said with a Spanish accent.
Well, I think that's it for us this week.
I'm done.
Jackie, how long was this one?
1 hour and 12 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Not bad.
It's not bad.
And I still have to make some edits, so. Yeah. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Bye.
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 I don't.